Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Enough, because we haven't been under enough.
100%, 100%. Hey, it's just a warm up for the election. You know, it's just the warm up for the election. Yeah, that would be my plan. We'll work on that. I'll send up the email, and maybe we could bring the podcast producer off the bench. Jessica, you're the best. Thanks for the time, as always.
See you later. Yep, bye.
She is Jessica Benson. Catch her on the Jessica Benson Show with CJ Hurt on Grind City Media. Brad, did you realize how mid our 3-on-3 team is?
Is it bad?
Well, we were talking about it. Okay, tell me how many of these names you recognize.
Go for it.
Jimmer Fredette.
Yeah, I recognize. Yeah, I mean, he's a shooter. Everybody knows Jimmer, but he's a shot jacker.
Kareem Maddox.
Don't know who that is. I know who that is?
No, he's a podcast producer at NPR.
Host. No idea.
Dylan Travis.
No idea.
D2 guy. And Kenyon Barry.
Kenyon Barry is Rick Barry's son who used to shoot underhanded.
Yes, that's exactly right.
What the hell?
That's our team that we're sending to Paris. Like, we're not sending any, like...
we're going to lose.
I think we are going to lose. Like, do we just not care about it?
No, we're going to lose.
We just feel like Jimmer's going to be enough on his own. I don't know. Maybe they play exquisitely as a team.
Maybe our shooting is just so, and our sets are just really good, but I don't see how a Division II player, Rick Barry's son, and Jimmer Fredette are going to get it done. I mean, that's not going to get it done.
I feel like we need to investigate, you know, the process here. Maybe do a little better next time, because it's not very inspiring.
I just feel like our focus on the Olympics, because the men are not winning like they used to. Like, we lose to Spain, we lose to what, Portugal? Like, they're Slovenia. Like, these teams are competitive with us now.
Yes, they are.
And then these other teams, like the women's team, has higher expectations than the men's. It feels like.
Yeah. Yeah, fair enough.
Okay.
Fair enough. At least with the 3-on-3. I mean, with the men.
Maybe they'll surprise us. Maybe they'll surprise us, John.
The men's competition is steeper. I mean, we got Serbia, you got Germany, you got a lot more teams in the world now that have caught up, as opposed to the women, who are 70-3 all time in an Olympic play.
Are they really?
70-3. It's a joke. I mean, it's a joke. I mean, is it possible that someday, but...
The Russians should just concede at this point.
I don't think the Russians are allowed to participate in the Olympics.
Oh, did they roid up as they got busted?
No, I think it's because... I think they were ixnayed because of the Ukraine invasion.
Oh, that's right. They're not letting them participate.
I think that's the case.
Now, I think in the gymnastics, that might be the one that one of the other countries is busted because they were using illegal substances, and so they're not going to participate. But we're clean here in the U.S.
Okay, so they will be competing as individual athletes without flags, anthems, and emblems.
That's Russia as individuals.
Correct. So there will be no Russian team. If you're a Russian athlete, you can participate just on your own.
Here it is, by the way. Update on the Chinese swimmer team. Because I remember Katie Ledecky got beat. You remember she got beat, and they were talking about this. and they were talking about the Chinese were cheating because they were using illegal substances. So the top 23 top Chinese swimmers tested positive for the same substance 7 months before the Olympics. And so they're saying that some of those dudes, those ladies are going to have to sit out.
Interesting.
So we got an advantage there.
Yeah, we need it. We need all we can get, no doubt about it. All right, we'll come back with the rundown. Interesting poll on the Jeff Calkins Show. We'll talk about that and more. Stick around. Jason and John, Arnie Turner FM, ESPN. The best thing you can do with your money is let it grow. Let it work for you. Put it somewhere where you get a high-yield savings account, and you can just watch it grow just for sitting there. Place I recommend, Leaders Credit Union and their Forward Plus high-yield savings account. No minimums, no balance tiers, and no restrictions to keep you from championing your personal finances. With Forward Plus high-yield savings, you can earn up to 4.25% APY on your money. It's a lot just for it to sit there. So open up the account, learn more. Maybe you want to do something else. Talk to somebody. Visit leaderscu.com/ESPN. This is a website for full details and disclosures. Leaders is your financial champion, federally insured by the NCUA. Nick Friedell is going to join us at 125. We'll talk to him about the NBA Finals, Dan Hurley, where the Lakers go next. Is LeBron ruining this for everybody? Going to do all that with him at 125. But in the meantime, in between time, it's a little bit past noon. The rundown.
It's the rundown with the biggest stories of the day from Jason and John on 92.9 FM ESPN. First story.
Okay, so one of the things I wanted to talk about, it will feed into another thing that I want to talk about. That's the way this works. But I wanted to talk a little bit about Memphis basketball and what the summer could look like. I should have talked about this yesterday. I wrote about it. What the next few steps and the next piece of the roster may look like for the University of Memphis. So let's back up a little bit. David Jones keeps his name in the NBA draft. We know that. It was obviously less than ideal for the University of Memphis. It was a blow. The timing of it, there's no doubt about it. I mean, it was pretty devastating in that sense in terms of timing because, the pool of player that you're going to be choosing from, is just going to be very limited. It's basically down to whoever didn't keep their name in the NBA draft at this point in terms of, again, players that you would say are on the level of David Jones. So that would leave you at that time Trayvon Brazil. That would leave you at that time Jameer Watkins from Florida State. That would leave you at that time Arthur Kaluma. Again, positionally, that's what you were working with for the most part. And in the meantime, since that all happened, since that's been 10 days or so ago, Trayvon Brazil went back to Arkansas. He's going to play for Cal.
Right.
I mean, I'll tell you what, I like that team.
Yeah.
I like Arkansas. I've been very bullish on Cal. Everybody knows that. Because I think that man is absolutely motivated to stick it to people. And again, Trayvon Brazil had a bad year, and that Arkansas team was dysfunctional. What his role in that, I don't know. I know he was a projected lottery pick 2 years ago for the ACL injury. So you add that to another year of DJ Wagner, another year of Thierro, and you're bringing in John L. Davis. Like, let's go, man. Like, let's, I think that team has a chance to be really, really freaking good and make some noise in the SEC. Like, I don't know. I don't know if we have any college basketball futures out yet, Brad, but I think I will be betting on Arkansas to at least make the Final Four.
Right.
I think that's a solid bet. I really do. With the
no,
talent.
I think you're right.
The talent's there and Cal's motivated. Give me that team all day long. People will say,
I think they'll be better in Kentucky.
Oh, for sure. I can't wait for that. Right. That's going to be the thing I enjoy the most about this college basketball season is you guys thought
right. It
would be better after Cal left. You finally got him out of there. He got the Arkansas job. You just thought it all lined up perfectly. And you guys are on your hands and knees for a three-star now. you're twerking for three stars now. Y'all should be ashamed. Y'all used to have nothing but McDonald's All-Americans, nothing but the best, nothing but top 10 players come in there, top 10 draft picks. And you guys are twerking for three-star BYU transfer.
And they overpaid on their new coach.
And you didn't even get a hometown discount on Pope. I mean,
$5 million a year.
Yeah, that was just not, that was not it. That was not it for the Kentucky Wildcats. So anyway, Brazil wants to be a part of Arkansas. Jameer Watkins, for reasons unbeknownst to me, decides to stay at Florida State. Why? No idea. I guess they have to pay somebody NIL money down there in Leonard's last, you know, hurrah. But he is going to stay at Florida State. So that really leaves, in terms of, again, the player that you would slide in to that spot for David Jones, Kaluma. Kaluma is 6'7". You know, he's better than David, I would say, in lots of areas. He can put the ball on the floor better than David could. He's just more of an athlete than David was. You know, it, honestly, if he can walk and chew gum defensively, he would be a better defender than David Jones. Not taking shots. It's just that was his game. So Kaluma would now be your focus. Here's the problem. A lot of other people are going to focus on Kaluma, too.
Right.
Because you get into this stage of the game, you know, everybody needs a player like that. And everybody has NIL. So the way that I understand it, the biggest competition I was told for Kaluma other than Memphis is SMU. SMU is also trying to get your boy Coleman Hawkins.
Yep.
Now, Coleman Hawkins has denied he wants $2 million a year, but he didn't deny that he wanted $1.5 million a year.
Wow.
If Goodman comes out and says he doesn't want $1.5 million a year, okay. But we haven't seen that. We just saw the $2 million denial, right? We didn't see the $1.5 million denial. And look, again, you have all the leverage when you're a player of that caliber in the portal this late.
Well, is it Kaluma also worth like that kind of in that territory?
Oh, for sure. Kaluma would get what they had earmarked for David Jones.
That's what I'm saying.
He would get that NIL for sure. But my understanding is SMU has a little bit more. So the way that this sort of shakes out, if Coleman Hawkins doesn't go to SMU, if he goes to LSU or Kansas State, which I believe are the other two schools on his list besides SMU, then they would then turn their attention full bore on Arthur Kaluma. And again, they have a little bit more money, I think, than you. And they also play in the ACC now. And even if the money is the same, SMU might have the trump card because they're in a power league now. They get to play Duke. They get to play Carolina. They get to play, you know, Syracuse and all the big-time programs in the ACC. You know, you come to Memphis, you got that big Tuesday night tilt on the road at UTSA. I mean, it's ugly. Like, you can't dress that up. I mean, it's ugly. Now, he may not care. He may look at it like, oh, well, I can go to Memphis and do exactly what David Jones did, and I can average 21 a game and be an All-American type player and look better than I would in the ACC. I don't know. I've never talked to Arthur Kaluma, but that's what I heard in terms of, like, that's the handicap, Memphis, SMU. There always could be other suitors. I don't want to rule that out, you know, because it's late and other teams were in on Jameer Watkins. Other teams were in on Trayvon Brazil. But that's what I was told on him as of last week. And then they also reached out to the Cal State Northridge guard, Deshaun Allen Eakins, who, again, we talked about it, he would have to get a medical waiver. You know, he would have to get a waiver. That's what he would be applying for.
Well, a medical waiver meaning he can transfer to you because of his...
He'd have to get it to be eligible. He'd have to apply for it and get it to be eligible. And Memphis's luck with these kinds of waivers is basically non-existent.
0%.
So, I just don't... I think they got the one on DeAndre. Remember, he missed 11 games or whatever, and they instated him. So that's about... And that he still missed 11 games, or whatever it was. So that's the best they've ever done with waivers. So I would not hold my breath on that happening. So listen, there's two scenarios here. I think Memphis would be okay with either. One probably is slightly better than the other. If they get Kaluma, very easy to put him at the four next to Dane Danger. You have P.J. Haggerty. You have Colby Rogers. You have Tyrese Hunter. Then you have, like I said, Kaluma and Danger. And I think Kaluma is a little bit more equipped to play the four. If they were going to ask David Jones to play the four next season, that would have been a disaster, in my opinion. He's just not capable of playing the four at the college level. He can't guard a four. You know, he's going to be giving up six inches, yeah. You know, 50 to 60 pounds.
Yeah.
Arthur Kaluma, a little different, right? A little bit more solidly put together.
It lists him as 6'7".
Yeah, 6'7". And what, 215?
Yep, 225. Yeah, he's like stout.
That's a four in college.
Yeah, he's a four.
Right? I mean,
he's like DeAndre a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly. I mean, and he can put the ball on the floor. You can play him on the wing. Like, yeah. I'm not. It's a four in name because he'll guard a four, but he'll be outside. He could be a mismatch problem, you know? He shot what, 35%, 36% from three? That's not bad. I mean, that's really not bad for somebody that's going to be playing the position he's playing. Now, if you don't get him, and you have to sort of, you know, I guess you try your luck with the Cal State Northridge guard. You're probably going to be starting Jordan at the four, right? Everything else is the same. Jourdain would then start at the four, which does take a little bit of a blow to your depth. But, I talked about it last week. Depth is the most overrated part of college basketball in 2024. It just is. So the stat is, and I pulled this up here, of the top overall 20 seeds last season, 17 of those 20 had below average bench minute rates, according to KenPom. So what does that mean? That means that playing a long rotation, which Penny Hardaway has always done every single year of his career, is not what the best teams in college basketball do. They basically focus on 6-7 guys, and they play the top six of those guys probably 85-90% of the minutes, and they live with that.
That's why I think Cal's got it right on the nine-man rotation thing he's talking about. Now, he's not even wanting to fill out his roster.
Right, right. Yeah, listen, it's definitely the way I've always advocated. Now, you know, people will say Penny didn't play a long rotation. It's more so just the sort of yanking in and out after a mistake. Like, it's you know, the best team Memphis ever had probably played six players. I mean, there might have been a seven man in there occasionally, but it was really six guys. It was D. Rose, Joey Dorsey, Antonio Anderson, Robert Dozier, and then you would have sort of
Allen.
You know, you'd have him sort of spelling off the bench, Donnell Mack. But that was, you know, and CDR. I mean, so it was really, you know, five, occasionally seven guys. And Taggart, you know, again, it could touch eight, but when you get into the minute distribution there, it was really 6-7. And Penny has just never done that. Penny's never done that at all. It's always been 9-10 guys. Everybody has to appear. Everybody has to play. And I do think that has been a problem that has sort of led to, you know, the lack of definition of roles and some discontent. So, it's not going to be the deepest team if they don't get Kaluma, but that is okay. It's still, I think, a pretty good team. It's still a team that really has no excuse not to win the AAC because Haggerty averaged 20 a game last year. I have questions about him. Some people I talk to are really high on him, and some people I talk to are not. What I am concerned with on P.J. Haggerty is the fact that they played one Power 5 team at Tulsa last year. That's it. They played Memphis. Everybody cooked Memphis, right? Memphis was abysmal. But they played one Power 5 team at Tulsa last year. It was Oklahoma State. And Haggerty, I think, was 3 of 9.
Yep, I'm looking at it.
Yeah, he was 3 of 9, didn't shoot well. I think he had 14, turned the ball over. Like, that is, he's played Power 5 competition once.
I mean, the best he's got is when they got into the tournament, and I'm talking about the American.
Yeah.
And he had a nice game against, Central Florida.
And he cooked Memphis. He had 27 against Memphis, you know, but... Other than that, it's like, okay, I understand.
South Florida, they beat 76-70 at 32, but he was just shooting.
What did he have exactly against Oklahoma State? Do you have it?
Oklahoma State. Oh, hold on a second. Let me look down the list here, John.
Yeah, it was earlier in the season.
Let's see. Oklahoma State. So that was on December the 10th. He had 14. They lost 72-57.
Right. He had 14 and a 15-point loss. And what did he shoot?
Yep. 0-for-4 from range, 6-of-9 overall. So, like, I mean, he wasn't hitting.
Yeah. I mean, so that's the thing. It's like, I that concerns me a little bit that he does not have a lot of experience, A, on a good team, but B, against good teams.
Playing a bunch of minutes, always playing 30.
Oh, yeah. No,
35,
no. He was the best player on a very, very, very bad team.
Yeah,
I believe Tulsa lost to Arkansas Little Rock.
Right.
I mean, that's, again, could he come to Memphis and be the player that he looked like at Tulsa individually? Maybe, but I think I'm more skeptical on that transition than some people seem to be. I don't just automatically assume he's going to come here and just put up those kinds of numbers. You know, Tyrese Hunter, Dane Danger, they're dropping down levels. Okay, at least in the conference schedule, I expect them to play great. I expect them to produce. Now, Dane is going to have to show that he can play more than 15 minutes a game, which is all I really ever had to do at Illinois. But he does seem like he's in better shape, which is a good thing. And so I think he'll be in better position to do that. Plus, you brought in Musa, who I honestly think is an elite big off the bench. I really do. Then you have Tyreek Smith there from SMU, and then Baraka Okoji, the guard from George Mason. So this is sort of, you know, you're looking out. This is a super important year. And this is, I think, there's two options here. You know, could you add an Allen Eakins? Sure, but I don't know how much of a difference he's going to make, even if he can play. And then it kind of leads me into the other thing I wanted to talk about, which was from the morning show with Jeff. He put up a poll about the future of college, or not just college basketball, but basketball coaching in Memphis. And I believe the question was, who is still going to be coaching in Memphis in 2025? And the options were Penny, not Taylor Jenkins. Taylor Jenkins, not Penny. Both will be back, and neither will be back. And as of right now, that poll has 326 votes, which is obviously, you know, all precincts not reporting at all. So take that for what it's worth. This is not a scientific poll. But 326 votes, 69.9% say both will be back. And I find that outrageous. I find that to be the least likely scenario, that both are back. I think that should be flipped. Second is Penny, not Taylor Jenkins, with 14.7% of the vote. 8.9% is Taylor Jenkins, not Penny. And then 6.4% of the vote is neither will be back.
That's the one I voted. I'm in the minority.
You think neither will be back?
I think both will be gone.
So I think I would say, and this is, you know, again, projecting a little bit here, and this is just my opinion, but I think I would say Taylor, not Penny. That would be my guess. You know, again, if you're going to do some probabilities here.
That's probably the likelihood if you were picking one and you had to pick one.
Like, if this were a betting market, right? I'm going to look this up. I'm going to see what the again, we're going to go by the votes. The votes would tell us that this is an implied probability of what? 8.9%?
Yep.
So 9%, basically.
Yeah.
So that would be plus 1,000.
Okay.
Okay, it might be a little better.
Your odds you'd stick there?
It might be like, let's see, plus 1050. No, it's going to be like...
are a linesmith.
I want to get it right on the nose. So let's just call it, just round it up. It's going to be plus 1,000, all right? Plus 1,000 that Taylor is back and Penny is not. I would bet that, all right? I would bet that. Just because I think it's good value. Listen, I think that Memphis will be solid next year, but I think there are a lot of questions about the roster, and I'm not necessarily certain that with their non-conference schedule, they're going to get through it the same way that they did a year ago. I mean, again, folks, remember, they were 15-2, and they still missed the tournament. They're not starting 15-2 this year. I guarantee you that. I mean, if they start, give me 17. If they are 10-7, I think you have to take that with their schedule because they're on the road. They play at Clemson, right? They play Ole Miss again.
Yeah.
They play in Maui.
Are they playing Mississippi State early too?
I think they play Mississippi State next year. So, you know, again, I think that game is at home.
Yeah, that's home.
They go to Virginia, do they not? So you have a lot more pitfalls this year, same as last year, and you have a roster that could be good. But, again, you lost your leading scorer in June, right? So it's a very difficult schedule. So, again, I think you take 10-7, and 10-7 going into the league play, I don't think you're in the tournament. Maybe, depending on who the seven are, you know, who the seven losses are.
Well, and last year it was like a mirage because they played so well in the non-conference, and then here comes the tournament, and that part of that was an injury, like Mills getting hurt. But, right. Like, it turned on a dime from what we thought this team was.
Yeah, I mean, we can't keep doing that with Mills.
No.
Right? We can't keep acting like
this. I'm sorry. I'm trained.
No, but that was exactly. It was like, oh, hey, but Caleb Mills was hurt.
It's like an electric shot. While you were gone, by the way, that's all we heard that for the month.
I know. I mean, Caleb Mills is a good player. Okay, I'm not denying that. But the idea that he got hurt and all hell broke loose, like you couldn't have made the tournament. We're not asking you to win this, you know, the entire thing. You couldn't have made the tournament. Disagree with that fundamentally. So listen, I think that's the and I think, again, for Memphis, there's a lot of stuff up in the air. The AD, I do think Penny definitely has some booster support as of now. But, you know, again, another tournament, if you don't make it, another missed appearance, I just think all that political will is gone. And look, this is just a bottom line business. It has nothing to do with love and hate. It has nothing to do with anything other than you are paid to produce. And one tournament win in what would be 7 years and two tournament appearances in what would be 7 years at Memphis, frankly, with the NIL they have, with the league that they are in, it is just not enough. It is just not enough. Now, if they make the tournament, right, he's back. No question. I mean, that's sellable.
Even just making it.
Even just making it.
Okay.
Like, is it ideal? Am I trying to, like, throw a parade there on Beal? No, I'm not. But it's sellable to your franchise, and again, to your fan base, I should say. And again, yeah, you're going to have a new AD. So do you really want to fire a basketball coach that got back to the tournament? Because you can write off last season. You can, again, if you go, you can look back and say, man, I made a mistake. I brought in Tomlin at the break, and my team was not, they were not about it. I miscalculated that. The chemistry was bad, but I got the right guys in here. We got to the tournament. Yeah, it wasn't the season we won. We wanted to go to the Sweet 16, but we got back, and we feel very confident about our
right
program moving
where we're
forward.
Going.
You can sell that. That's easy. I'll buy that.
Yeah, I mean, Quinterly was a problem last year.
They all were, really.
Yeah, they just didn't
they all were.
Yeah.
You know, nobody, you know, everybody hated playing with David Jones and right. Tomlin gets here. Yeah. And, you know, yeah, so it was just a...
It didn't gel.
It was just a beautiful disaster in the end. Yep. But, you again, I'm willing to write that off because I could buy that if you go to the tournament. If you don't go to the tournament, this is what it is. This is Memphis basketball. That's what you are. Because now... You've gotten all that, the bad apples gone. You started over again. Your sons are out of the program.
That helps.
So what are we doing? What are we doing here? And so that's why it's an important year. For Taylor, on the Taylor side of it, it's just like if his team is healthy, they're going to the playoffs. You know? I mean, there's just no doubt about it. We've seen that. They're a two seed, you know, if everybody's healthy and rolling. And I really have no reason to believe that wouldn't be the case next year.
You need a center, though. Like, you got to figure this out.
Oh, yeah. But it ain't like you got to figure out who your franchise, the face of your franchise mm-hmm. is.
Right.
That's the hard part. Be hitting a serviceable center. Like, we'll go find him on Lamar if he's 6'10". Like, we'll figure it out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I just feel like for the Grizzlies, they just have more questions already answered. And as much as Dallas and OKC and Minnesota are quote-unquote coming – OKC's already there. Dallas has already been there. Minnesota, you've already been in a playoff series with. You know, the Lakers are a disaster. Golden State's on their last legs. You know, there's still a very easy case for you to make to be, you know, I think you're on that 4-5 line, right? Like, you're on that 4-5 line if you're the Memphis Grizzlies, which is, you know, again, firmly in the playoffs. Clippers, same thing. They're going to fall off. They're coming out. They're on the back end of their time. So I just feel like if the Grizzlies have health, Taylor is just going to be the coach. That would be my guess, because they're going to go to the playoffs. I mean, is it possible they get some kind of itch and say, well, this isn't enough, we need more? Sure. And look, NBA coaches are, as we always say, hired to be fired. This is the nature of the industry. It's the nature of the business. And so I am not going to shed a tear, nor would I expect anybody else in Memphis to, if Taylor Jenkins is fired for whatever reason. Right? They just feel like he's not. You know, the players are not receptive anymore, whatever. But I'm just like, you know, again, on paper, they make the playoffs. They get home court advantage. Let's say they're a 4 seed. You're not firing Taylor.
Well, and this is why the betting odds would be on Taylor out of both of them, because there's no, like, this glue connection like the coach of the Tigers, you know? Like, these coaches are just like water. They just run through them, you know?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I mean, and it's like there's no – and I mean, that's really a business. You know, with Penny, there's a lot more to consider.
Yeah, booster.
Yeah, there's a lot. You got the booster side of it. You got the ambassador side of it. You got the things that he's meant to Memphis side of it. But, you know, again, we always say this. It's what we say on the show. The program is bigger than any one coach. And if Penny was sort of in his own shoes as the alum, as the ambassador, and he was watching a coach go to, again, we're stipulating a miss here, have one tournament win and two tournament appearances in 7 years, he would say there's no way that coach should continue as the gatekeeper of the program, right? That's just common sense. That's you know, Josh did better than that.
Yeah.
And everybody wanted Josh out of here after 7 years, you know? And he, you know, he won 2 games. He had number one recruiting class all the same. So I think that's the consideration here. I hope we don't get there. But if I were predicting, you know, because I know the Tigers are – I think Lunardi's got them in, but that was pre-David Jones' decision. You know, would he have them in now? I don't know. I feel like it's, you know, it's hard for me, I guess, to give the benefit of the doubt to Memphis right now, because they looked so locked for the NCAA tournament last season, and they just fell apart. and they just absolutely fell apart. Like, you had your best start since, I don't even know. I mean, Cal's last year. Maybe Josh had a 15-2 in there. Yep. I don't remember. But it was like you were absolutely on cruise control to make the NCAA tournament, and you found a way to not make the NCAA tournament. So it's hard for me to just assume they're going to do it. Even if Lunardi has them in, and again, I know the computers do like them a little more this year. I will say, even through the winning last year, even when they were 15-2, there were pieces from KenPom where they were like, hey, this Memphis team is a little bit of a mirage. Yeah.
The analytics were skittish.
Yeah, they were the whole time, and they are already higher on this Memphis team a great bit than a season ago. So listen, maybe I need to update my priors. Maybe I need to adjust my priors on this. I want Memphis to be successful. I want Penny to be successful. I want this to work because it's going to get ugly and toxic if it doesn't. And I'm not looking forward to that. I didn't enjoy the end of the Tubby era, honestly. It was not fun. It was, it was a little maddening because you still had some people who were like, this shouldn't end. And that was obvious.
Right.
So imagine when you introduce Penny into the discussion where he's got, his fans, the people who grew up with him and all that. Like, it's just going to be, but I'm able to take an objective view of it because, again, my passion is for the program and it getting back to where it belongs.
Well, like, sadly, if you look at Pastner, and I think you and Jason have talked about this, like, Pastner's record and run has been better than Penny's.
It has. But I'm adjusting up because he got the Cal windfall.
That's fair.
You know what I'm saying? Penny did inherit an Chernobyl.
Right.
I mean, it was.
You're coming off Tubby.
It was nothing. There was nothing in the cupboard. There was no momentum. There was no... All of that was self-created by Penny. And I give him credit for that. He did it. He restored ticket sales. He got recruiting back to where it needed to be. He did a great job from the marketing piece of it.
Right. NIT, all that.
Yeah. But we're past that now. It's year 7. And so now it's about the results. And you're either going to get them or you're not, because the marketing high is over. You benefited from it for 2 years. You did a good job with your recruiting. Didn't get the results on the court that you probably should have had. But even people will say, it changed. NIL. Again, nobody has benefited more from NIL and the transfer portal than Penny Hardaway. He has been, nobody has leaned on it more. Nobody has used it more. Nobody has taken more advantage of it. And so that really doesn't work. And by the way, everybody plays by the same rules now. FAU played by those rules last year. USF played by those rules last year. They won the damn league. Wichita State, which puts you out in the first round, right? They played by those rules. So it's not unique to Memphis. I always have, you always kind of feel like you're running in circles with this discussion. It's not like, Memphis is the only university or the only athletic department in the world that has to deal with the transport and NIL. Everybody does. And by the way, Memphis NIL is great. It's great. For football now, it's just like, again, we talked about it yesterday.
It's incredible, John.
They landed another kid today. They landed a 3-star receiver that had decommitted from SMU and was considering TCU and Texas Tech. I mean, they are absolutely on fire right now because they're NIL. But again, that's an excuse that's off the board for Silverfield.
Yep.
Right? He can't say... Well, I don't have – no, you got it, bro. We saw the commercial from FedEx. We all saw it, right? Yeah. So you can't use that anymore. Again, I would rather have NIL than a good excuse, to be clear. I would rather have NIL than a good excuse. Nobody over on that campus has a good excuse anymore, all right? So it's definitely going to be it's a big year for every coach in this damn town. It's a big coach for Taylor Jenkins. It's a big year for Silverfield. It's a big year for Penny Hardaway. It's interesting. I guess they were just keeping it to basketball. But listen, every coach sort of has the same charge. Silverfield has to win the AAC, right? To me, non-negotiable. That's a high bar, but with that roster, non-negotiable. Again, barring health. Penny Hardaway, got to get back to the NCAA tournament. Non-negotiable. Taylor Jenkins, got to get the Grizzlies back into the playoffs. Not the play-in, the playoffs, non-negotiable. And if he doesn't, if they're in the play-in next year, then they probably do let him go. But again, everybody that's coaching in the major sports here in Memphis has a big job this year. And I was certainly, given those stakes, I certainly would not be surprised if we see, some turnover. I mean, that's the nature of the beast. And every coach has been here for, long enough. to do it.
Now, I think Silverfield, besides these two basketball coaches, is definitive. If you don't kick ass this year, you are toast.
I mean, Silverfield's extension was so fake. Like, I mean, people act like this is some big. He got like a cost of living raise.
It's nothing. Right? Like, relatively speaking.
Yeah, I mean, for him, I mean, it's a cost of living raise.
That's
it was
right.
just like, hey, I'm going to be here, so
right.
we could recruit. You know, if he has a bad year, they could get off that contract just as easy as before.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? And that, again, if he doesn't perform this year, it's the same conversation. You could have to fire Silverfield. I mean, and by the way, the addition and the injection of NIL makes that much more urgent. It's just the facts.
Well, and his whole tone has changed.
He turned the
way he was positioning it.
No doubt. He's like, oh, yeah.
It's awesome.
We're going to the playoff, basically. No, he's not saying that. But, you know, there is a difference in energy. There's a difference in tone.
No, it's them and Boise to make the playoff, essentially.
And Liberty. But, yes, I mean, you're in that group.
You're better than those teams.
You're in that group. You know, so, look, it's the same thing. There is a double-edged sword when you have what you need.
Right.
When you don't have what you need, you can say, well, I don't have what I need. What do you guys think is going to happen? Yeah. Now that you have what you need and you're not producing and you're not performing, you go. I mean, FedEx giving you $3 to $4 million a year in NIL and you're not winning the AAC? I mean, somebody's making that call. Look, Silverfield does a lot of great things off the field. Right, he does a lot of the graduation rates and APRs and everything like that. And
nobody cares.
Exactly, it looks great.
That's fun.
It looks great. You know, it's a nice little living room talking point with the families and everything like that. Well, hey, we got this, we got that. But if you're not winning games, you know, and we're talking about really winning games that matter, AAC championships, there's not going to really be any hesitation, I don't think, you know, to move on to the next guy. That's the business. If ever I stopped producing in revenue or ratings, that's the business, you know? Imagine if in 7 years I was finishing consistently fourth or fifth and I wasn't generating revenue, I would not be here. The expectations are higher, right? It's just the truth. At least that's how I feel. You know, that's how I carry myself. And I know those guys are proud too. But, you know, listen, I think the poll was definitely relevant. People were kind of pushing back the idea that Jeff was, how could you even discuss this?
Now, I agree with you. Like, this is a topic.
Yes. Oh, 100% of the topic. I mean, this all could come to a head in 6 months, 9 months.
Yes.
So,
and this is also what fans are talking about.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, maybe fans are talking about Caleb Clark, but. Yes, I just think on a local level, if you're not talking about it today, you're going to be talking about it soon.
Yeah.
Because it's
locally.
Coming. This is all going to come to a head potentially. So anyway, yeah, I thought it was an interesting poll by Jeff and the results. I'm always taught, you know, we don't fade the public. You know, and the public thinks 70% they're both back.
Or Brad.
I think there's basically no chance they're both back. I won't say no chance. But I think that's the least likelihood. I think that is the lowest likelihood. That you just think everything's going to be that great? You think there's going to be no strife, no rift?
Well, given how bad both were this year, maybe we're due for both to be good next year. Because this year, let's be honest, and it's why honestly, in sports talk radio, it's felt a little slower. Because it's like, it was the first year in a good while where both teams, you know, Grizzlies didn't make the playoffs and were banged up, and then you had the jaw crap.
Right.
We're trying to get it turned around. And then on the Tigers front, you're trying to figure out the roster on the fly. The roster's not getting along. They all hate each other. Like, the conference tournament is a miserable disaster. And then they sputter to the finish. So it was like, it was the first time in years that I can recall, John, where we're sitting on the radio and we're like, man, two bad basketball teams. And then we go back to, wow, well, look at the Tiger football team won the Liberty Bowl.
Yeah, yeah, no doubt. That was a good win, by the way.
I mean, it was, but we're reaching back to that because it's like, it's kind of the highlight of, I mean, that's kind of the highlight of the last 8 months.
That was the worst Memphis sports season I can remember since, I think there's one other bad season when I took this gig. It was maybe 2016, that first year, because you had Memphis basketball was Tubby Smith. We know how that went. And then as far as the Grizzlies were concerned, I think they were kind of transitioning out. Like they were moving out of Grit and Grind. And so it was kind of like that purgatory with where were they going. So I think – and that was like you felt like no momentum, you know, absolutely no momentum at all. And it kind of felt like that again this year. Tigers don't make the tournament. Grizzlies don't come close. Ja gets hurt. You know, so I think that was probably the –
yeah.
So, yeah, we're due. We're due for a bounce back year. I hope it happens. I truly do. All right, we'll come back. Lots more to come. Nick Friedell going to join us at 1:25. We'll talk to him about the NBA Finals, about the Lakers job, LeBron, Stick around. Jason and John, how do you turn up?
Hey, football fans, are you obsessed with the game?
Oh, yeah.
Do you find yourself looking for breakdowns from every angle? For those who can't get enough, subscribe to Brian Baldinger's podcast, The Best Football Show, where he discusses the top teams and players from around the league each week.
That's what I watched this week, a dominant performance.
New episodes drop every weekday, including Trench Talk Tuesdays with former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth. Make sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
ESPN. 40% off all engagement rings and a free summer vacation giveaway. So here's the way this works. RIJ is going to give you a free vacation with purchases of $24.95 or more. You also get the peace of mind with the meant to be guarantee, which is you buy that loose diamond, something goes wrong with the relationship. I don't know. I hope it doesn't happen. But if it does, you got 365 days to bring it back and get the refund. They got something for every budget. Howie is the best. Knowledgeable, passionate about jewelry, and is really determined and hell-bent on making sure you get the best deal possible. You can shop around. I'm telling you, you're going to get the best deal with Howie. RIJ. And again, those vacations I talked about, could be Myrtle Beach, Orlando, Fort Lauderdale, Miami, Hilton Head, Anaheim, Vegas. A lot of options, man. Go out there and see them. Five locations in Memphis and Little Rock, online, rijewelers.com. Bigger, brighter diamonds, better prices. Robert Irwin Jewelers. We're back, Jason and John, on Detroit FM, ESPN. Again, Jason out today. So I'm holding it down. Brad's over there on the ones and twos, as always. Happy to have
him. Thank you,
Locke. We'll be joined. We're so good. We'll play it on the intro, and then we'll play it again later in the show. You know what I'm saying? You got
to
love it.
That is the same one, isn't it? I need to take that out of the rotation on the music. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, it happened yesterday when Dennis, I think, was in here, and it's just like, you know, we just have to separate.
I need to take that one off. I got it on the basic producer page because
we used to regularly have it as just a return.
Yes.
Now it's our intro. We changed because, you know, obviously J. Cole and the beef with Kendrick and Drake, we had to, you know, remove ourselves from that situation.
Yeah, that was a smart move on your part, by the way. And I'm trying to make sure that we don't play P. Diddy also. You know, we're excluding a lot of people right now, John.
I don't think we had any Diddy, but maybe we did. Maybe there was.
Did we have R. Kelly in the mix? I think
we got
him out of
thankfully.
There.
We've been out on R for a while, thankfully. Okay. So, I think we're covered in pretty much all of those situations. But let's just like separate it. Yeah, that'd be good.
I'm gonna pull it out.
Yeah, so anyway, listen, NBA draft is coming up, and it's quite intriguing for the Memphis Grizzlies. They got to figure out, hey, are we going to draft a center? Are we going to trade up? Are we going to trade back? What are we going to do? Starts Wednesday, it's the first round. Then they have the second round on Thursday. The idea of anybody sitting around on Thursday and watching the second round of the NBA draft is bananas to me, whatever. I can't tell you. I don't think I will be, Brad. I'll be honest. I don't think I will be watching Thursday of the NBA draft. I guess there's nothing else on, so maybe that's the argument.
I'll watch the second because the Grizzlies generally have a bazillion second rounders, but we'll probably trade them.
Yeah, I don't know I don't think they're going to be taking on more players, so I don't really see them locking those in. I mean, maybe drafts and stashes. I'm not sure. But anyway, the draft is coming up. It'll be here before you know it in about 2 weeks, give or take. And the Grizz are sitting there still at 9. We know that, you know, Zach Kleiman and the Grizzlies front office have never been shy about moving up. If they like a player, they did it with Zaire Williams. They traded away Jonas and you know, some picks there to move up to get 10. And this time they're at 9. And over at ESPN, Jonathan Givony and Jeremy Wu did a mock draft sort of individually for need, not best player, but need. And each of them, you know, got a chance to kind of weigh in right on the pick. So for the Grizzlies here, Jonathan Givony thinks the biggest need is Devin Carter from Providence, who I believe is the son of Grizz assistant Anthony Carter. So that's interesting. I don't really have a super strong opinion about Devin Carter.
I don't know enough about him.
Yeah, I mean, I don't feel like, you know, I've seen him enough to really weigh in on you know, how he would fit. But this is what Jonathan Givony says about Devin Carter. Pairing Ja with another guard such as Carter, who can defend the other team's best perimeter player, space the floor consistently, and do a lot of the little things, getting on the glass, generating turnovers, and bringing nonstop toughness, makes a lot of sense. That was the reason Memphis traded for Marcus Smart, who was limited to 20 games last season because of injuries. Carter, coming off a Big East Player of the Year season that also earned him All-American honors, can play in a variety of lineup configurations and roles, and even alongside Smart, and can help a team ready to return to the playoffs. Did Givony forget about Desmond Bane? I feel like he,
I think so.
Where
what
exactly
about the potential All Star shooter that we already have on the roster?
I mean, he's a sort of a max contract player.
Yeah,
I'm not sure where.
I think that's a miss.
Yeah, I don't really
miss that.
I think that is a miss. I'm going to count that as a miss, honestly, for him. I think if Desmond Bane didn't exist, that might be
a good
idea. But you know, he definitely did not mention. Like, he can play alongside Marcus Smart and Ja.
Yeah.
I'm just going to forget about the two guard.
Now, Marcus Smart is somebody I would like to forget. Maybe I'm on the outside looking in on that opinion, and I realized that he was balling out there at the end and he was scoring a bunch of points, but it doesn't feel good seeing what the Celtics are doing with Holiday in that slot.
Well, I mean, they would have done it with Marcus probably, you know.
Maybe.
It's hard to know. It's hard to play that game, right? I don't think Marcus Smart was the reason they didn't get here.
Right.
But, I mean, there probably are Boston Celtics fans who would say he was, because he would have weird games.
He was like the Tony Allen of their market, in a sense, but a better scorer than Tony, because he was so beloved in Boston. That's why it was a hard emotional decision. But from a player perspective, like, he wasn't the ideal player on that roster.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why they traded him.
I mean, he was expendable, you know.
Yeah.
He was expendable for them.
Grizzlies gave up a lot to get him.
And so, I don't know. I feel like we haven't seen enough yet. We haven't seen enough of...
I hope you're... And I'm not rooting against it. I hope you're right.
No, I'm not like... you know, if somebody wanted to come grab Marcus Smart...
In one of these deals for a center, right? Like,
I'm not going to be like, no.
Like, if you got Jared Allen, you're going to deal him.
Yeah, I mean, I will say with Jared Allen, the one thing that concerns me about him is really his injury history. He has an extensive injury history. He got hurt in the Orlando series, and I don't believe he played in Game 7.
No.
And he didn't play at all in the Celtics series. And it was basically just a rib contusion or something. But
yeah.
I've read, and again, I think this is true, I've read that he's not like, he doesn't take the injections and stuff. Like,